हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, page 83. In the Upadeshamrita of Srila Rupa Goswami, verse 2, it is said, Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lalyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities: eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. 2. Over-endeavoring for mundane things, which are very difficult to obtain. 3. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. 4. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desires for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Nisidachara, diplomatic behavior, kutinati, animal killing, jiva himsa, mundane profiteering, labha, mundane adoration, puja, and mundane importance, pratishtadi. All these are unwanted creepers.
In the verse Janasanga,
yes,
mentions not to associate with mundane people.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure if it's mentioned in Bhakti Loka that because, you know, devotees, many devotees have to associate with mundane people. So I think there's a difference between associating with mundane-minded people or absorbing the consciousness of materialism.
But when you absorb, that's called associating.
That's right.
Means the other is, it says, what is it? It says, like, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. You know, so that gives an idea is that if you have to do your work, you have to work with people, talk with people, and all that. But you're not associating with them, picking up their values, discussing those kind of things. It means, in other words, you're dealing and working with people as much as needs be for the occupation. Like that. So it's not that that's important association for you, or there's something of value to be there. So it's a matter of intent. If you actually appreciate the people and think that they themselves are, you know, have qualities that you want to, you know, how you say, develop, that's association. So in Manu, he's talking about that, you know, because some people be worried about association. So he's mentioning that, you know, sitting on the same seats as, you know, in transport or different things like this, that he's talking about that those are not association. It's just that, you know, because you're sitting on the bus next to somebody, that doesn't mean you're associating. At the same time, as then he also then mentions that associating means you're doing those things because you want to do those things with those people. Here it's that that's part of the occupation, so you do. It's not that you have to be, you know, misbehaved or anything, because that was another creeper, is nisidachar. Means not unacceptable behavior. So devotees always behave nicely and deal properly. And so you're going to deal properly, use the etiquettes and all that, because they're all servants of Krishna. They may not know it. And so you're going to deal properly. But at the same time, it'll be appropriately for their position as non-devotees, or, you know, whatever's the capacity that they're involved in one's occupation. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have to balance. You have to be smart. It's not that you can, oh, because they're all souls and we stress them. No, because the point is they're conditioned. They're under the mode, so you can't. But at the same time, you deal properly. You know, so etiquette is followed, but you have to be intelligent. Does that make sense?
There's still a danger to actually enjoy being people.
Well, that's the thing. That's what you have to watch for. These are weeds. You have to watch. And when they come up, then you have to deal with them.
You know, sometimes when all devotees get into intense relationship or conflict, and then they come up with a thing, you know, they are much nicer people.
I mean, people do say that there's nicer people than the devotees, but where are these nicer people? You know, where are they?
Well, what's the criteria of being nice?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that happy-go-lucky guy that's always happy and always this and that. I remember one guy like that, you know.
He was crazy?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I was with him for 6 weeks when we were, you know, touring Israel.
Yeah. For sure.
You know.
Who's that?
That's just, yeah. Well, I mean, he came along with this, you know, he was part of the, you know, B'nai B'rith thing from America. You know, so, yeah, gotta be nuts, but, you know, we would be in the same category, you know. He went back, I came here, you know, so you gotta be nuts, right? So, one. Like that. I've seen others that have a little bit of the quality, but not much. But then the point is you can say, oh, they're nicer. Okay. You can say they're nicer, but who's nicer? What is it that's nicer? You know? Oh, the behavior and that. So that means it's the state of mind and all that. So now if they're not a devotee, is that not happening by the modes of nature? So then the living entity isn't nicer. The modes of nature, by their karma, are nicer. Because later in their life, they could be not nicer. Or next life, they could be not nicer. Or next life, they could be next nice. Next life, they could be one of those really nice Labrador dogs. You know, Labradors are always nice. You know? So that's the thing, is devotees, because they're practicing with commitment or conviction, devotional service, the qualities they develop, those are real. So the other ones, then that's Krishna's material energy. And so where did those qualities come from? It's his material energy, the transformations of the spiritual quality. So if you see anything nice, they're Krishna. They're part of the universal form. That's the point. It's an incarnation of the Lord. And then the jivas are his umpsas and servants. So they serve within that capacity of carrying out the activities of manifestations and manipulations of the modes of nature. Right? So it's just the modes are running that way and everything goes that way. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
You know, so that's, you can say that they're nicer, but but they're not. Or if one's in a senior position, and he's talking to someone who is within their frame of responsibility, he might use that, even the karmis are nice, it means you're a devotee, get it together.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a correctional thing. But if someone actually thinks the karmis are nicer, then what nicer? You know, all the time they can go back, yeah, no, this one time there's this, that, and then there's this other time and that, okay, that's two. Let's, you know, more. Well, you know, oh, there's so many. Go ahead. We're up to two. I haven't even finished one hand yet. Go ahead, knock me out. Fill up one hand. you know, then like we were saying yesterday, then, or this morning, then anger comes up. Because there is, logic stops working. Then it's just their impressions and their position. No, I've said this, and it's my experience, and so you're saying my experience is wrong, and this and that. And yes, we're not saying, Krishna's saying. You know, namam duskritino mudha, you know. Udas can be very pleasant people. Have you ever met a nasty donkey or a nasty, you know, burro? You know? Horses, they get nippy, but generally donkeys are pretty docile. You know? Plus, they're into poetry. Come on. Yes?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jayavadara, he mentions that neophytes, they like Vaishnava association, but actually they enjoy also Parni association. This is the main symptom. Oh. Madhyamas, they don't behave like that. Okay. They're indifferent to Gyanis, Parnis, and Yogis, and friends with the devotees.
Yeah.
But Kanishtas, they actually enjoy that part as well. They don't mind Vaishnavas, but they enjoy it there. So
they enjoy
if
with
this kind of comments come,
That's because they, yeah, because they'll see, you know, it'll match. So, but at least if there's some interest in Vaishnavas and that, by cultivating that, then gradually it'll move forward. Because it always has to be remembered that the nature of the jiva is servant of Krishna. That's just inherent. It's not a matter of, oh, that's what we think and that. No, that's just the way it is. That's how Krishna's created the place. You know, so that aspect has to be seen. Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point of when you have proper knowledge, pure knowledge, you also have to know what's contrary to pure knowledge. So that means misunderstandings in, you know, the Lord, misunderstandings in the nature of the jiva, misunderstandings in the swadharma of the jiva, and then, what's the last one? Maybe it's misunderstandings in the practice of devotional service or something like this. So he's pointing out that you can have these misunderstandings, and that's there. So you have to understand, you have to know about how these things are there and be careful. So that's what Lord Chaitanya is telling Rupa Goswami, is that you have to watch out for these weeds. So, you know, that one appreciate that that will be a weed. Now if it's appreciating that these people are nice or this or that, but these qualities come from Krishna, so it's actually Krishna who's nice, and the devotees that therefore are serving Krishna have inherently those nice qualities, and so then one's inspired and thinking about Krishna and things like that, then that's fine. Because the living entity, it's no. They can say it's no, but he did the karma and so he behaves nice. Okay, he did the karma, but whose laws did he have to follow to get that karma? And it's Krishna's law. So that means it's Krishna's rules, so follow Krishna's rules, then you'll be nice. So therefore associate, he got that like that, so associate with those who are following nicely, but in connection with Krishna. But it doesn't mean that they're not proper behaved in everything with the karmis. To behave badly is improper. Vaishnavas always deal nicely. You know? So when some devotees seeing that as a weakness, then you know, propagate that, you know, we should focus on these things and all that. No, the weeds come out from pulling out the weeds and practicing devotional service. You're cultivating the creeper, not cultivating the lack of weeds. It's the creeper you're worried about. Otherwise, if they just cultivate behaving properly, but you know, by removal of weeds, but they're not cultivating the creeper, then what's going to be the benefit? That itself will be a weed. Does that make sense?
So in other words, the focus is not on removing material desires, the focus is on devotional service.
Yes, and the point is material desire gets in the way of that. That's why we remove weeds. But we're not removing weeds because that's the real thing. You know, because sometimes people get into that and very hard, and it's about those rules that are the main thing. But then it becomes Niyamagraha, because you're following, how is it spiritual? It's a rule, you have to do it. Yes, yes, but why? You know, if it's to please Krishna, then that's real. But if it's not, then they have to understand. So the point is, they have the, it's something one should do, they have the nature to do those things, they should do. But they should understand that they have to see it all the way through to Krishna. Just because, yes, it may be Niyamagraha, doesn't mean it's given up. Just as the person who Niyamagraha is not following the rule should follow the rule, the person who's following the rule but missed not applying it from the spiritual platform should apply it from the spiritual platform. Oh, that's just a rule, so it's just artificial. And then the idea is give it up. And then what's left? Whimsical. So some people also use that as a way to get people to stop following religious things. You know, he says, oh, but, you know, are you, you know, brahmachari? You never think about this or that or that. Well, yeah, it comes up. So you're not a real brahmachari, so it's just artificial. So why are you doing all these? Why don't you be real? And, you know, what's real? Real is prema for Krishna. That's real. Anything else is artificial. So all this skepticism and all these things, these are all not real. So, yeah. So one has to be careful. You know, diplomatic behavior, you just behave in certain ways to get people to do what you want to do. And that, so you have to be careful of that. It has to be more straightforward. It has to be, you're behaving nicely and trying to get what you want to do. But it's not about that you, the accomplishment of what you want to get done. It's doing service for Krishna. Because you're working with other Vaishnavas, they may have some other ideas. And then you have to see, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, okay. You know, and then you work with it. So that's why it says those who are politicians, it's a problem. Because kutinati is actually the worst. You behave badly, you can learn to behave properly. But to get rid of diplomatic behavior, now that's a tough one. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says of all the anartas, it's the toughest. Like that. Yeah. Animal killing, now of course, jiva himsa, because they're all there to move through and move up in devotional life, but you know, some happen to be animals, so that has to be. Mundane profiteering, labha, you're just looking for the gain. Not, it's supposed to be you're performing your duties. And in performing your duties, then from dharma, artha comes. But you don't perform activities for artha. That will be a distraction, because if it's for artha, why? That means it's for kama. But if I'm doing my duties because I should do them, or I'm doing my duties to please Krishna, then these things come and you use them nicely in Krishna's service. So if you're doing the dharma for Krishna's service, the artha can be used for Krishna's service. But if you're doing the dharma for artha, then you know it'll be used for kama. So, yeah. Mundane adoration, puja, you're, you know, worried about those things and that, because that's one thing of the karmis. You deal nicely, they deal nicely with you, and you know, you can puff each other up very nicely. You know, sometimes they're just pleasant people like that, but then if you can, put in something about Krishna. You know, like that. So, and mundane importance, pratishtadi, you know, that we're, what was it?
Fascinated.
Mm-hmm. You know? Someone else used the word mesmerized. You know, like this, by these mundane achievements and qualities and knowledge and things like that. But that's just for pratishtadi. You know, if you're seeing them as all as qualities of Krishna and opulences of Krishna, that's one thing. But then it's not something important for you. It's just they have that, you deal with them properly. That someone has knowledge, you deal with them properly. You know, they're respected for their knowledge. But it's not that their knowledge is important for us. They're working with the universal form and the point of knowledge. That knowledge comes from Krishna. They have that knowledge. That means they're working nicer. They have, it's an opulence of Krishna. But it's not that they're using that opulence properly. So therefore, we're not associated. So, yeah. All these are unwanted creepers. Srila Prabhupada. There's a certain pattern of behavior prescribed for those actually trying to become perfect. In our Krishna conscious movement, we advise our students not to eat meat, not to gamble, not to engage in illicit sex, not to indulge in intoxication. Right? If you avoid these four nicely, the other ones tend to be controlled. People who indulge in these activities can never become perfect. Therefore, these regulative principles are for those interested in becoming perfect and going back to Godhead. Kutinati, or diplomatic behavior, cannot satisfy the atma, the soul. It cannot even satisfy the body or mind. Right? Because the mind won't be. It's just because it develops the greed and get more and more because it's about control. Right? So body won't be satisfied. Mind won't be satisfied. The culprit mind is always suspicious. Therefore, our dealing should always be straightforward and approved by Vedic authorities. If we treat people diplomatically or duplicitously, our spiritual advancement is obstructed. Jiva Himsa refers to killing of animals or to envy of other living entities. The killing of poor animals is undoubtedly due to envy of those animals. The human form is meant for the understanding of Krishna consciousness. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. For inquiring about the Supreme Brahman. In the human form, everyone has a chance to understand the Supreme Brahman. The so-called leaders of human society do not know the real aim of human life and are therefore busy with economic development. This is misleading. Every state and every society is busy trying to improve the quality of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This human form of life is meant for more than these four animal principles. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are problems found in the animal kingdom, and the animals have solved these problems without difficulty. Why should human society be so busy trying to solve these problems? The difficulty is that people are not educated to understand this simple philosophy. They think that advancement of civilization means increasing sense gratification. Like, you know, so much difficulty. We see the animals, they go along, they look for a place to make a hole in the ground, and when they find a good place, they make a hole in the ground. You know, if it's not here, they move to the next place. You know, humans work so hard, right? You know, how much is the guy, you know, on your own property, how many living entities are living there? You know? Yeah, you know? You paid for it, but they're living there. And you didn't pay for it, didn't own it, they'd still be living there.
Go to work, go off the mortgage, yeah. Watch TV all day.
Yeah, yeah. Get a job. The difficulty is that people are not educated to understand this simple philosophy. They think that advancement of civilization means increasing sense gratification. There are many religious propagandists who do not know how the ultimate problems of life can be solved. And they also try to educate poor people in a form of sense gratification. This is also jiva himsa. Real knowledge is not given, and religionists mislead the general populace. As far as material profits are concerned, one should know that whatever material profit one has must be abandoned at the time of death. Unfortunately, people don't know that there is life after death. Therefore, mundane people waste their time amassing material profit, which has to be left behind at the time of death. Such profit has no eternal benefit. Similarly, adoration by mundane people is valueless because after death one has to accept another body. Material adoration and titles are decorations that cannot be carried over to the next body. In the next life, everything is forgotten. Right? Because you're working for things now and getting all these things, but they will be left. So only if you're performing your duties properly and things like that, that's something that will be carried to the next life. But if it's material, it will give you a material body. But if you're doing those same duties but to please Krishna, that will then give you a spiritual body. So one has to understand is that they work so hard beyond. It means, in other words, there's a certain amount of time to work, but they want more. They work more. But you work so much and finally get what you're wanting when you're 60, 70 years old, and then, you know, you can't even use it properly. All these obstructions have been described in this verse as unwanted creepers. They simply present obstacles for the real creeper, the bhakti lata. One should be very careful to avoid all these unwanted things. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like that, like the bhakti creeper. They appear to be of the same size and the same species when they are packed together with the bhakti creeper. But in spite of this, the creepers are called upashaka. A pure devotee can distinguish between the bhakti creeper and a mundane creeper, and he is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. So neophyte may not be able to tell, But then if he's interested in pure devotion, then he'll be able to tell as much as he's involved, and he'll associate with those who will be able to point out things that are wrong. Right? So as one advances, one has to be more and more careful and aware of what these are. 219-160. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "If one does not distinguish between the bhakti creeper and the other creepers, the sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished while the bhakti creeper is curtailed." Right? They grow, and then the bhakti creeper has no space. They're growing up, taking all the water and everything. Srila Prabhupada, "If one chants the Hare Krishna mantra while committing offenses, these unwanted creepers will grow. One should not take advantage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for some material profit. As mentioned in verse 159, Nisiddhachara kutinati jiva himsa labha puja pratishtari yata upashaka gana. The unwanted creepers have been described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He states that if one hears and chants without trying to give up offenses, one becomes material attached to sense gratification. One may also desire freedom from material bondage like the Maya bodies, or one may become attached to the yoga cities and desire wonderful yogic powers. One is attached to wonderful material activities. One is called siddhi lobhi, greedy for material perfection. One may also be victimized by diplomatic or crooked behavior, or one may associate with women for illicit sex. One may make a show of devotional service like the Prakrita Sahajiyas, or one may try to support his philosophy by joining some caste or identifying himself with a certain dynasty, claiming a monopoly on spiritual advancement. Thus, with the support of family tradition, one may become a pseudo-guru or so-called spiritual master." Interesting, siddhi lobhi, because you have, what is that, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, right? So siddhis can be the yogic siddhis, but it also be just you're trying to gain perfection. So even just working to perfect the material arrangements, that will also be siddhi lobhi. Right? Doing something wonderful, everybody appreciates something, that can also be a siddhi lobhi. If they want to do something nice, but I mean, saying, you know, you have some plan, you're trying to do something, trying to perfect, right? Something you're trying to do, you get into that, because they're not necessarily enjoying. Yes. They're focusing on this aspect. Someone else is focusing on just enjoying. Yes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, someone else has desire. He's not necessarily a joy, right? Someone else is, you know, like that. One may become attached to the four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Or one may consider a Vaishnava to belong to a mundane caste or creed. One may think, this is a Hindu Vaishnava, and this is a European Vaishnava. European Vaishnavas are not allowed to enter the temples. In other words, one may consider Vaishnavas in terms of birth, thinking one a Brahmin Vaishnava and another a Shudra Vaishnava, another a Malecha Vaishnava, and so on. One may also try to carry out a professional business by means of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Or one may try to increase his monetary strength by illegal means. Also, one may become a cheap Vaishnava by trying to chant in a secluded place for material adoration. Or one may desire mundane reputation by making compromises with non-devotees concerning one's philosophy or spiritual life. Or one may become a supporter of a hereditary caste system. All these are pitfalls of personal sense gratification. Just to cheat some innocent people, one makes a show of advanced spiritual life and becomes known as a sadhu, mahatma, or religious person. All this means that the so-called devotee has become victimized by all these unwanted creepers, and that the real creeper, the bhakti lata, has been stunted. 219-161. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. As soon as an intelligent devotee sees an unwanted creeper growing beside the original creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper, the Bhakti Lata, grows nicely, returns home back to Godhead, and seeks shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. One is misled by unwanted creepers and is victimized. He cannot make progress back to Godhead. Rather, he remains within the material world and engages in activities having nothing to do with pure devotional service. Such a person may be elevated to the higher planetary systems, but because he remains within the material world, he is subjected to the threefold material miseries. Right, so he's doing devotional service, but he's getting distracted by these creepers, so it's not going to give the devotional result that they're looking for. Right, that aspect that may be devotional, that will still work, but those aspects where you're cultivating the weeds, those won't. And then one will get distracted. So one has to be careful. That the whole point is be careful and conscious of your, since the soul is conscious by nature, be conscious and be aware. 219, 162, 165. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when the fruit of devotional service becomes ripe and falls down, the gardener tastes the fruit and thus takes advantage of the creeper and reaches the desired tree of the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. There, the devotee serves the lotus feet of the Lord, which are compared to a wish-fulfilling tree. Like as we mentioned, creepers take shelter of trees. So then the devotional creeper takes shelter of the desired tree of Krishna's lotus feet. With great bliss, he tastes the juice of the fruit of love and becomes eternally happy. To taste the fruit of devotional service in Goloka Vrindavan is the highest perfection in life. And in the presence of such perfection, the four material perfections, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, are very insignificant achievements. So anything within that, they're not impressed because that taste for love of Krishna, that's the natural thing. That's the impressive aspect. These other things then become not very important. Quote, as long as there is not the slightest fragrance of pure love of Krishna, which is the perfect medicinal herb for controlling Lord Krishna within the heart, the opulences of the material perfections are known as the siddhis, the brahminical perfections, satya, sama, titiksha, and so on. The trance of the yogis and the monistic bliss of Brahman all seem wonderful for men. Footnote 31. This verse is found in Srila Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. Srila Prabhupada, there are different kinds of perfections known as siddhi vraja, and also the perfections of achieving brahminical qualifications. Yogic trance and merging into the Supreme. All these material perfections are certainly very attractive for a mundane person, but their brilliance exists only as long as one does not take to devotional service. Devotional service can control the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller of all universal affairs. The five rasas, mellows in the transcendental world are practiced by the inhabitants of Goloka Vrindavan in neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. All these please the Lord so much that he is controlled by the devotees. For instance, Mother Yashoda was so advanced in devotional service that Krishna agreed to be controlled by her stick. In other words, the five principal mellows are so great and glorious that they are able to control the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the material world, however, the so-called siddhis or perfections manifest their brightness only as long as one is not interested in devotional service. In other words, the perfection of the karmis, jnanis, yogis, and others remains attractive only as long as one does not come to the point of devotional service, which is so great and significant that it can control the supreme controller, Krishna. 219, 166 to 167. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. When one is situated in pure devotional service, Shuddha Bhakti, he develops love for Krishna, Prema. Therefore, let me describe some of the symptoms, Lakshana, of pure devotional service. When first class Quote, when first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge attained by monistic philosophy and fruit of action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. Srila Rupa Goswami. This verse is also found in Srila Rupa Goswami Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. So then we took that. As we can understand from the Bhagavad Gita 9.34 and 18.65, the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants everyone to think of him always. Manmanabhavamadbhaktaha. Everyone should become his devotee, not the devotee of a demigod. Everyone should engage in his devotional service, including archana, deity worship in the temple. Manmanabhavamadbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Everyone should offer obeisances from moment to moment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the desires of the Supreme Lord, and one who fulfills his desires favorably is actually a pure devotee. When he fulfills Krishna's desires favorably, right? If we're looking at what pleases us, then yes, we can connect that to Krishna and purify it by offering what we think is important. In other words, you offer the best to Krishna. Now, it may be the best that we think is the best, or it may be the best as Krishna thinks is the best. So what Krishna thinks is the best, that's the best, that's favorable. The other one, there might be some things that are in line, but they might not be. And we're offering it because we think it's the best. It tends to be more about us than Krishna. And even if it is something that we also think is best, then but it's Krishna thinks though, so we want to use the best for Krishna. Right? Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him, and devotional service means preaching this gospel all over the world. The Lord says openly in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69, Nacha tasman manushyeshu kashchin me priya kritama. One who preaches the gospel of the Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of all is most dear to Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord so that human society can be perfectly organized from all angles of vision, politically, socially, economically, philosophically, and religiously. From any point of view, human society can be reformed by the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Therefore, one who spreads this philosophy of Krishna Consciousness for the benefit of all conditioned souls in the universe is perfect in pure devotional service. Right? Because he says, is most dear to Krishna. He's a friend. And so that's also then Sakya means that you're taking the Lord's desire and trying to fulfill that. Right? That mission has been given by Rupa Goswami, that comes down, Srila Prabhupada has given that to us, we're trying to take that, and in such a way to please Krishna. Right? And so then one becomes favorable. So the criterion is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. This understanding can be achieved through the medium of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami advises, Adau Gurvashrayam. One who is serious in wanting to render pure devotional service to the Lord must take shelter of a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession from Krishna. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidhu. Bhagavad Gita 6:4-2. With 4:2. So you see 4:2, 6. Without accepting a bona fide spiritual master coming in the succession, one cannot find out the real purpose of devotional service. Right? Otherwise, one may take so many other aspects in this. Oh, we're just supposed to be nice or blend in. You know, so many things that we can do. No, we're supposed to ourselves take advantage of this, give it to others. Right? We take this philosophy as there. We use that in our life, and then we perfect, you know, how we look at things politically, socially, economically, philosophically, religiously. All those things are there. We don't have to turn to the karmis for these things. Therefore, one has to accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and agree to be directed by him. The first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy a spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha. This is the success of devotional service. This is the meaning of the word anukulyena, that is, favorable devotional service to the Lord. A pure devotee has no plans other than those for the Lord's service. He is not interested in attaining success in mundane activities. He simply wants success in the progress of devotional service. For a devotee, there cannot be worship of others or demigod worship. A pure devotee does not engage himself in such pseudo-devotional service. He is interested only in satisfying Krishna. One lives only for the satisfaction of Krishna. It does not matter whether he belongs to this order of life or that order of life. One's only business should be to satisfy Krishna. This process is completely manifest in the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. It has been actually proved that the entire world can accept devotional service without failure. One simply has to follow the instructions of the representative of Krishna. But as we see is that Prabhupada applying this this movement all over the world, people are coming in from all walks of life, all backgrounds and everything. So that's why one has to see is, no, when you preach the pure devotional service, that will attract the living entities. They may be from any kind of condition. Right? Not that, no, only this particular group of living entities, you know, they're the ones that we have to set the standard, and they're the universal nature. No, pure devotional service is there. You try to accommodate the audience, but you don't change anything. Right? Because otherwise, people come from all backgrounds. So to say is, no, no, this one thing is the thing. You can't do that. Only the universal elements, those are that's what's universal. You can't take any local, regional thing and say that's universal. Does that make sense? Like that. Yes. And the Vedic culture is not local or regional.
It's universal.
Yes. June 19, 168, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, a pure devotee must not cherish any desire other than to serve Krishna. He should not offer worship to the demigods or to mundane personalities. He should not cultivate artificial knowledge, which is devoid of Krishna consciousness. Right? So knowledge that's there that you can use for Krishna, that you cultivate. Other things then aren't so important. Right? And he should not engage himself in anything other than Krishna conscious activities, because he sees everything he does in connection with Krishna. So you have to be able to see like that. So then it should be something that's favorable, things that are recommended, attitudes that are there, and this way then bring it back. So all these indirect activities become connected to Krishna, because everything is coming from Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. One must engage all one's purified senses in the service of the Lord. This is the favorable execution of Krishna conscious activities. Mm-hmm. Udriti, Nectar Devotion, Chapter 2. We should always try to mold the activities of our lives in such a way that we will constantly remember Vishnu or Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. The Padma Purana recommends somehow or other always think of Vishnu without forgetting him under any circumstances. Actually, this is the most basic of all regulative principles. For when there is an order from the superior about doing something, there is simultaneously a prohibition. When the order is that one should always remember Krishna, the prohibition is that one should never forget him. Within this simple order and prohibition, all regulative principles are found complete. If this injunction is followed, then all other rules and regulations will automatically fall into line. All of the rules and regulations should be treated as assistants or servants to this one basic principle. So that's the difficulty we saw before, like the rules and regulations. Then you're dealing with Niyamagraha. Someone's following them, but do they see how they connect to Krishna? Someone's rejecting them, but do they see, well, how does that connect to Krishna? So the point is it's remembering Krishna, and therefore don't forget him. So don't do activities that make you forget. And if it's activities you need to do, then you should try analyze them, how to connect them to Krishna.
Yes.
Not by just our own speculation, but how the acharyas recommend.
Yes. By the association of Srila Prabhupada's acharya, we can absorb the value of this.
Yes, yes. By association, you're gaining values.
And we can understand more clearly about...
Yes, yes. Knowledge is more.
And also Niyamagraha, the thing, you know. Which
is yes, you can balance.
So it is this is the special power, we can say, the association of...
yes, because, like you said, we're inspired by the qualities of the devotees. But now, when we look at it, when we want to place qualities,
yes.
You know, because otherwise everything goes back to the Vastutraya. So then out of chit, that comes qualities.
Yes.
You know, because we'll say that there's the, you know, the power of the everything, like it'll say Krishna has the six opulences, but they're also known as power.
Yes.
Like that. And so then the point is you're inspired to do, let's say someone else is doing something and you're inspired.
Yes.
Is it specifically just the technique that they're doing that you're inspired? What is it? It's the attitude.
Yes.
So that attitude is a quality.
Yes.
So the qualities are what generate willpower.
Yes.
Right? So if you use good qualities, the willpower that will be generated will be favorable.
Yes.
If you use negative qualities, then it'll be unfavorable.
Yes.
It's the will, you know, qualities connected to Krishna, it'll develop devotion.
Yes.
Not connected to Krishna. Like if we see, oh, yes, these academics are so intelligent, but then we're taking the quality of knowledge, but we're taking the quality of knowledge without Krishna.
Yes.
So what will that generate? It will generate mundane knowledge.
Yes.
See, it's because Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that bhakti is what makes everything else work. So karma and jnana have to take shelter of bhakti to get their processes to work. Because without commitment and dedication, it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? And the forms that are there originally come from devotional service. So, but in any case, they're there. But if the attitude or the intent is not bhakti, bhakti remains hidden, even though it's the one making it work.
Yes.
And when it's finished, you only get the results of the karma jnana.
Yes.
And the bhakti doesn't give anything else. It disappears. Because that's why we see it. Someone puts in that dedication, and then when it's done, they sit back and they don't have that dedication anymore. Right? And so that's the position. But if you do that with the intent to please Krishna, so you're doing it in the context of bhakti, then those aspects of karma and jnana, means the activities and knowledge, then get engaged in Krishna's service. And then the result you get is bhakti. And if you have a mix, then it'll give you a mixed result. But pure bhakti, bhakti produces pure bhakti. Bhakti will bring you to prema. Right? So in other words, as sadhakas, we do bhakti. But the perfected souls, they function in prema.
Yes.
Set.
Yes.
Like that. So, yeah. 2.19.169. These activities are called shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service. One renders such pure devotional service, he develops his original love for Krishna in due course of time. In Vedic literatures like the Pancharatras and Srimad Bhagavatam, these symptoms are described. Srila Prabhupada. One has to develop his devotional service under the directions of a pure devotee, the spiritual master, and in accordance with the Vedic directions given in the Pancharatra and Bhagavat systems. The Pancharatric system includes methods of temple worship, and the Bhagavat system includes the spreading of Krishna conscious philosophy through the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam and the discussions of philosophy with people who are interested. Through discussion, one can create an interest and understanding of the Pancharatra and Bhagavat systems. Right? The Bhagavat regulates, and it all centers around deity worship. But in worship of the deity, you have to study Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. You have to chant. You know, you have all these things you have to do. So it regulates it, so you do. But the point is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that's a Bhagavat process.
Yes.
But because we may not be inclined to do it, the Pancharatra regulates it so that it's there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah, through discussion, one can create an interest and understanding. So interest, then, okay, so what does interest do? Creates activity, application. And from application, you get understanding. Regular application, that gives you realization. So, yes, no?
Because a few years ago, we discussed, and still on the Bhagavatam, we discussed that in the first canto, there's a description of three kinds of speakers and three kinds of listeners of the Bhagavatam.
Mm.
So now it's kind of, now it flipped.
Yeah.
So one is from the point of Pancharatra, one is from the point of Bhagavat, and one is from the point of Vedic.
Mm.
Because how they all speak and hear Bhagavatam is three levels. It's actually described in Bhagavatam itself.
Mm.
So then, slowly, we get the complete picture. Because at that time, it wasn't clear.
No, that's why there's 12 cantos. Mm. Otherwise, if in the first canto was enough, then they would have, you know, called it a wrap. You know, and so now you know how the Bhagavatam was spoken and all that, and then, you know, they would have all, you know, gone for, you know, the noon bath or something. You know, so that's why you see as you go up, then you think that has that progression. But then when you get past that 11th canto and then on, then you see that these things are mentioned all along. So you could say it's like the first part is the seriatim, just one after another point. You know, trying to logically present things so that according to us and our position and our samskaras that you build on one samskar to the next and all that. And then you get 10th canto, which is, you know, about Krishna's pastime, so that's just the natural absorption. Then you can say after that, these are thematic studies. So you're taking one particular theme and you see, then it's being quoted throughout the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
You know? So Gita does the same. It has the first, then shows devotional service in the middle, then gives that thematic study where it's elucidatory. Takes one particular point and everything connected with that. But before, you can't explain that. Doesn't mean that in discussion you can't explain it. But the point is you generally won't understand it till you get there. Just like when we started Gita, we were discussing basically the whole flavor of it was from second canto, you know, based around the Chaturshloki. And so then, you know, there's so much discussion and this and that, and it's going really, really slow like that. But when we got to actually the section on the actual chapter on Chaturshloki, that went really fast because we've been hearing it for the last, you know, so many years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like that. So then by then, okay, because you've been talking it there, now when you get to it, okay, then. So therefore, probably in the Acharyas, and it's also like you said, is now you see what they were talking about. So they mentioned these things all along. So some, we come into this really technical point. We think, wow, where's that from? That's unique, different. And then, you know, you hear a lecture of Prabhupada in 68 or 66, and he's saying exactly the same thing.
Yes.
Just very pleasantly, but, you know, and then, you know, it moves on.
Yes.
Like that. So there is only these points. There aren't something else. You know. So it's just said over and over again until one day the penny drops. You know, and then things work. You understand the penny drops?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You don't understand? You have a machine.
Yes.
You put in the coin. You push the button, nothing happens. You shake the thing, this, bang it, this, that. Finally, when it drops, then it works. So then it's like, oh, that's what it is, okay? No?
We need to have patience.
Yes, yeah. That's why he says, in due course of time, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking. So he's describing pure devotional service, what to look out for. In other words, he's describing pure devotional service, and at the same time, he's describing what to look out for. So it's not about, oh, we just focus on the anartas. You know? Because I remember when we, you know, it was like in the 90s when, you know, a lot of that study came up and that, and you get into all these different analytical aspects. And one time I was giving a class and really strongly going on this anartha nivritti and about this and that, showing so many different things like that. And after the class, one of the senior devotees says, devotional service isn't about anartha nivritti. You know, they were pointing out, no, it's about pure devotional service. You avoid anartha nivritti, so you discuss it enough for that, but it's not that that makes it complete. No, it's just the stage that naturally comes up means you're aware. Before that, you're not aware. You're just, oh, you have faith in Krishna, you do everything, you're enthusiastic, you associate with the devotees, you start to follow the different things like that, and then you start to notice the anarthas. Sometimes devotees, where did that come from? That was never there before. Is this process working? To the point you're aware of this, that means the process is working. So if ever the devotee's thinking, you know, where did these impurities come from? I've never seen those before. I never think about that. That means anartha nivritti is going on. So be aware, that's there it is. There's the weed, pull it out. So that's all it is, and you keep moving on. So one has to be very, very careful to see that you see Lord Chaitanya's presentation is on pure devotion. Mm-hmm. But when the niyama is given, the yama is also given. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what he Prabhupada mentioned here. Huh? For when an order from a superior about doing something, there is simultaneously a prohibition. Yes. You know, so Prabhupada is talking about varnashram and that, and then he talks about that human life begins with varnashram. And then the devotee uses all that in Krishna service without attachment. And so now we know, yes, this is how we situate ourselves. Then he'll make a point to avoid, don't, you know, think then I'd start identifying with it or this or that and everything. So he's given the instruction, and then he gives the prohibition. But because he's given a prohibition, then people will make the mistake. Individuals may make the mistake. Oh, he's throwing out varnashram. When, if you read it, that's not what's happening at all. So the two come together. Yes. So through discussion, right, you remove doubts, then there creates an interest. The interest means you'll apply it, manana, from manana, then nididhyasana, right? 219-170-175. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, bhakti, or devotional service, means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service under the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and one's senses are purified simply by being employed in the service of the Lord. Footnote 32. This verse quoted from Narada Pancharatra is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.12. Right? So you see these core slokas that are there given by Lord Chaitanya, and then Rupa Goswami then goes and through the shastras and pulls out all the different things to show and enhance that so we can get an appreciation. Udriti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 1. A devotee should accept only those things that are favorable to keep his body and soul together, and should reject those things that increase the demands of the body. Only the bare necessities for bodily maintenance should be accepted. By minimizing bodily necessities, one can primarily devote his time to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, to the chanting of the holy names of God. Right, so it doesn't mean that you're neglecting the body or this or starving yourself to death. It means that just how much is required for you to do your service, that's all how much you need. You don't need more. Right? You know, if you need one sleeping bag to sleep, you don't need two. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean that you don't, you know, you just, you know, starve yourself to death and sleep outside and on the snow. Something like that. That's not what it's saying. Pure devotional service means engaging all the senses of the body in the service of the Lord, at the present moment, our senses are all designated because the body is designated. Right? So therefore, we designate the body, so therefore our senses are designated. Therefore, oh, we're Westerners, we can't eat this Indian food. You know, oh, we can't eat rice. It's kind of like, you know, like why the Spanish are not Europeans, they're not, you know, in the Western thing, you know, they're totally into rice. There's a good chance if they ate rice in the West, it would be Spanish. Right? Sure. So it's just, you know, they'll say because of designation, therefore my senses become designated. Right? Is that... Consequently, we think that this body belongs to a particular society or a particular country or a particular family. In this way, the body is bound by so many designations. Similarly, the senses belong to the body, and when the body is subject to such designations, the senses are also. Thus, the senses engage themselves on behalf of family, society, nation, and so on. That's why we can't start a basis of a philosophy there. Right? Because this is the nished. You can't make this. No, this is the order. And then the prohibition is using things that aren't according to our particular designation of body and therefore designate the senses. You understand? That's backwards. No, the designation, the thing to do is give up these bodily designations and just do what is favorable for serving Krishna. Not start from this other thing and say, no, because of this designation, we can't do these things.
This is a Vayavadiya, do you?
Yeah, and then we give designations to it. It's not the Vedic culture, oh, it's Indian. Oh, you can't say that's Vedic. Yes, maybe you can't, but Prabhupada and the Acharyas can. You know, so one has to be very, very careful.
This is what the Mayavadiya are doing. You know, when we study the Ramabhasandharma, always finding some designation and trying to show that the philosophy follows the designation.
Yes. Yes, because then the soul is the upadi, and then like that, then you give up the upadi, then you become Brahman, and
yes,
like that. And then, but that same time is then they identify, if they say it's all Maya, but at the same time they're happy to identify themselves with Narayana, as Narayana.
Yes.
Not as Narayana Parayanas, but as Narayana. And so then, but that is just illusion with knowledge.
Yes.
And so then, but so they're happy with that. So you can see, it's still about designation.
It's the same mistake.
Same mistake. Just more fancy.
Yes.
The very intellectual mistake, yes. Intellectually done. No? Yeah. When they are so engaged, the senses on behalf of family society, they cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. The senses must be purified. That's why Lord Chaitanya said the purified with purified senses means giving up all these designations. And he says, when it does that, one is freed from all designations. So you engage in pure devotional service, the designations will go away.
Yes.
Right? Just simply engaging in the service of the Lord, you're purified. If you're purified, then the good qualities come. The good qualities come, then that becomes your inspiration for your further engagement in the Lord's service. You don't have to separately try to cultivate these, because how will people in Kali Yuga cultivate these other qualities? It means you can, you know, but you see as previous generations, they'd cultivate these nice qualities, but how did they do that? There's a standard. The parents and community leaders are very authoritative. You did something wrong, this is wrong. You'll be pointed out that you're wrong. You have to correct this. It's not about what did you feel and why did you say that to him. And No, this is wrong. Do this. So they'll say, we have to develop all these good qualities. But yes, but you've also rejected all the methods how to develop those good qualities. So that means you don't have the karma to develop these qualities on the material platform. And so what does that leave? Only the spiritual platform. And even cultivating the material platform until you use them in Krishna's service, it's unimportant. While if you're doing devotional service, you're getting the benefit of the service and you're developing these good qualities. Well, the other way, you're developing the good qualities. seemingly. But at the same time, as until it's engaged in devotional service, you're getting no benefit because they will be lost. You know, like that. It's just you watch it. That's the one thing. Is as the generations go, you can watch things being lost.
Yes.
Like that.
It's in forever. It's in forever.
Yes. Yes.
It's not going to come back.
No. No. That was the whole point. You know, they're all under the swamps of Mordor and not coming back.
It's interesting how the Prabhupada established that Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan standard all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And telling about Krishna and mm-hmm. But at the same time he was aware that people still had material designation. So he allowed for devotees to identify with the local culture and engage it in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, you engage it, then it does. But at some point he also adjusts it.
Yeah.
Because like you take the hippies. Then for them it was, you know, everything is all, you know, belongs to nature and this and that. And, you know, they're kind of like, what do you call that? Pantheists? You know? Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the nature and this and that, and, you know, if you brought out a few Celtic things like that, they'd be really inspired, you know, like that. Like that. And so, like this, and so they would just, you know, for us there, it's all Krishna's, and so therefore it's all this, and there's these flowers here and there, and so they would go and take all the flowers from all people here and there. You know? But at one point, Prabhupada says, no, you can't do that. You know, in the beginning, they were engaging because that's all they knew. But as soon as, you know, and they were, it was just sincerely trying to do that. But as soon as it gets into, no, this is our method and this is our technique, then Prabhupada, no, now you come to the next level. Because you've already lost that mentality. It's purified. You move on now. You know, they used to go into cemeteries and steal all the flowers there. You know, nice arrangements there. You know, and that way they decorated. At one point, probably, no, don't do that.
All the flowers end up on the rat guard.
Oh, that's another thing. But the point is you can go. You can go, and you do. Remember in Hong Kong from Modi Road, you go down the end of Modi Road and hit Nathan Road, and then there's a little park there. You know, where all the guys are in the bushes doing this, you know, in the morning and stuff, you know. So just in front of that, then there's a market there that was all flowers. I don't know if that's still there. And so we'd go there and you know, because we're dressed as we are, and we'd beg flowers. And so certain guys would give us flowers. We'd do the worship and stuff like that, so. You know, or you buy flowers or whatever, but we don't just go and take them. But I remember we had one devotee, it was in Poland, like that, and she was, you know, came from that kind of really hippie background and all that, and all, you know, very nice and all that. And so, but one of her services, because she was so pleasant and that, she would go around and wherever the tour was, she'd just go to all the village people, you know, and that, and go door to door, talk to them, and this and that about giving flowers for the program and all that. It was all right if she picked flowers, and she would go door to door and do that because she was so pleasant and all that, and you know, like that. She'd bring in tons of flowers, like that, wherever they were. But then she would go and ask. She wouldn't just take them.
So, like for example, you know, kind of food that devotees in certain countries like to eat.
Yeah, no, you can use, but at the same time as don't try to say it's better.
Yeah.
Just you're using that, then fine. You like that tune, you like that food, great. But don't say it's better, it's superior, that's Indian, we can't eat that, because that is just so bogus. You know what I'm saying? The first world eats anything and everything, especially nowadays. Who cooks? So you have to go to a restaurant. You know, when you're driving down the street in London, it's before we'd see you at a restaurant, and then after some blocks, another restaurant, and after some other, you know, on a corner, you know, you'd see something. You know, little places. Now, in one block, you see four or five restaurants. And it's in London. They're not English restaurants. They're anything but. You know? There's a couple of Italian, but they're Ethiopian, they're Bangladesh. And now they'll say, before it would just be, you know, a general kind of thing. Now they specifically say where it's from, and people go to eat those things. So they're eating from anywhere anyway. This idea is, though, we're Western, we can't eat Indian food, is so bogus. You got to be, like, culturally, how you say, stunted or something to try to make these statements and that. They eat anything anyway. You know, it's just like, you go in South America, they go for these things, and we can't do these. We're Westerners. It's like, they're Westerners? Depends upon which Westerners you're talking to, whether they're Westerners or not. But whatever it is. And so, their local culture, they eat rice and beans. So all we're saying is put a little spice in it, give some taste to it instead of so bland. You know what I'm saying? They're already eating that. You know, so the difficulty that comes up is that is one thing to engage your attachments, but that doesn't mean you can hold on to your attachments. You know, so if now and again, you know, in the temple they cook some local preparation that everybody likes, great, it's a festival, everybody's happy. But it's not that you can only eat that, or no, this is devotional, so only eat that, we only eat that. Kids do that. You know, no, I only eat the sweets, I don't eat the broccoli and stuff like that. No, so what are they talking about? You know, it's like we were saying this morning, it's just childish. So that's why it says that then the wise men think in this way. Those who are mature think in this way. Yes, you're an individual. You may have your so you like your particular things. Like in Vrindavan, then yes, the Lord Chaitanya arranged that a devotee there supplied rice to the Bengali devotees. You know, but his point is it's there within the cuisine that they offer to Lord Chaitanya. Like that. So yes, you can do these things, but don't try to make it into a philosophy. You're attached. You like that better because of your attachment to the body, the designations, and the senses. Accept that. It's not elevated. It's not glorious. You're not superior because you're Western. You know, that's the problem. It basically comes down to, you know, certain terminologies that you don't want to get involved in because they're so politically incorrect. But that's the basis of it. Somehow, because Westerners are superior. But if you look at it, the major volume of people are from all over the world. It's so much more international. So they're just, basically, they want to say is what I'm attached to, that's what everybody should be doing. That's Atmavan Manyate Jagat. That's not, we're Westerners. You know. So, yes.
Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he makes a study explaining the condition in nature of the living entity. And he says, those on Anamaya will naturally. Will naturally, like without an effort, criticize those who...
Naturally.
Naturally.
Okay, naturally.
Naturally will criticize those who on Pranamaya. Those who on Pranamaya, they will criticize naturally
those on Manamaya.
The Manamaya guys will naturally.
Yes, naturally.
Criticize those who are and like that. But then as we see...
Those on Anandamaya criticize everyone else.
No.
No.
That's the point. And we see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Narada visits the devotees, they actually glorify those who are above them. So this is the culture of the spiritual world. But here, those who don't follow Varnashrama, they criticize Varnashrama. Those who follow Varnashrama criticize sadhana, like Vaidhi sadhana.
Yeah.
Those who practice Vaidhi, they will criticize rag sadhana. Those who rag, they like...
Yeah, and just keep going.
So yeah. It's no wonder it happens.
No, it's no wonder it happens. But we're just trying to bring out is that it happens. Don't make it into a philosophy. Understand means we see is that the Goswami is pointing out being humble. So then it's a way to be humble. I'm attached to my designations. I can't function culturally outside of that. So fine, do that, but don't make it into a philosophy and spread it and say, no, everybody should do this. Because then you're just... then you're becoming attached, you're making an upadi, and you'll just drag other people down with you. That's all. So it's useless. You know, I'm attached, I'm this, so what can I do? But it's not a, you know, what can I do? You know, you're going, you know, what are you looking at? No, not that one. It means, what can I do? So you do like that. And then when you're with the other devotees and they're doing something else, then, you know, you try to fit in. You know? It's like that. You go to the temple, you honor the prasad a little bit, and then go home and cook whatever it is that you want to cook. But, you know. You know what I say? But know it's because of, you know what I'm saying? But know it's because of not being advanced, being attached. Don't make it into, no, this is the path of dignity here, and the path of no, it we see. It's here. Prabhupada said designated, the body is designated, so the senses are designated. So what they're talking about, oh, our senses can't do this. Why? Because of the body. And this is exactly what Lord Chaitanya is saying you have to avoid. So if you're on that platform, of course, basically everyone's going to start there. But then to make a philosophy so that you can remain there and then claim that you're as advanced as others, that's just bogus. It's just bogus. Like that. So that's the whole thing. You can accommodate. Yes, people are great. Who cares? You know, people are coming around, they have faith, there's sadhu sangha and all that, whatever they'll take part, whatever they'll do, that's nice. It's good for them. You know, they identify as their position, then they do it, okay. But you see, sometimes they'd like to identify, at a festival, they want to identify like devotees. Yes. They don't have to go to work, they don't this and that, and so they sometimes want to wear a chadar or put on a sari or this or that. And so, great, they do it that one time. Then they may do it after another, you know, 6 months at the next festival. Fine, nice, you know. But then some will say, no, no, you don't have to do that, you know, no, what you are, you're fine like that. This is not preaching. This is actually atheism. You know, actually atheism. Because it's their own moralistic principles that are not connected to devotional service. You know, if they're asking, should I wear this or not, because I'm not so comfortable? No, no, you just come as you are. But you don't, because, you know, you're fine. But if they say, no, I'd like to, you know, do this, check this out, and all that. Like, you know, Maharaj does on his tours. He has that tent where, you know, you can wear, you know, not so many guys wear dhotis and stuff, but the saris, the girls like to wear. And they give them to wear, and then afterwards they give them back and go. But many times they buy them. They want to take them home. They like them. Very often. But it's not being done as a money thing. It's being done as to just give them an opportunity, you know, something, some fun. Dress up, you know. Like that. So, like that, it's encouraged. You know, it's always said, if someone who is of lesser cultural development follows those of higher cultural development, it's always a glory. Even if they don't regularly do it. It's always nice, because there's the thought of there's something higher, something beyond. Something that controls the senses in the way that I would not. And so it's good. You know? And so, but if they don't, then fine. But, you know, it's very clear these levels and what they're for and what the mentality is. Don't try to present pranamoy and anamoy as a vijnanamoy and anandamoy. It's like it's bogus. One has to know the philosophy. The senses must be purified, and this is possible when purely understands that he belongs to Krishna and that this life belongs to Krishna. The devotee should see his identity as eternal servant of Krishna. In this way, one can engage the senses in the service of the Lord. Such engagement is called pure devotional service. So it's an attitude. So it's not the external, you do what you can. But the attitude is important. But if you cultivate, no, it's about leaving the external, then you cultivate an attitude that's not useful. It won't be called pure devotion. Yeah. 219.170.174. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Just as the celestial waters of the Ganges flow unobstructed into the ocean, so when my devotees simply hear of me, their minds come to me. I reside in the hearts of all. These are the characteristics of transcendental service to Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is causeless, and it cannot be obstructed in any way. My devotees do not accept Salokya, Sarshti, Swarupya, Samipya, or oneness with me. even if I offer these liberations in preference to serving me, right? That's the key right there. That's the very important key here, why Lord Chaitanya was having difficulty with some of those in South India. It's because they would talk about, you know, the Sarupya or Salokya, these ones. But it wasn't, they didn't mention devotional service. They mentioned perfection is to go to Vaikuntha in this particular liberation. But it is something you use in Krishna's service. It's not in itself an ultimate goal. It's simply something to use. That's why it says, even if I offer these liberations in preference to serving me. So the devotee just wants to serve him, and in serving him, these come along with it. But when you're talking about obtaining that, so attaining these things, and that's the perfect goal, it's not the goal. It's not. You can use it in Krishna's service. If you're an associate, you're on the same planet, you can use these in Krishna's service. But it's the service that's important. That's why the liberation isn't. Right? Because even if you're not, you can serve Krishna. So then if you happen to be there, then you continue to serve. So the service is the real point. They're actually secondary. Because they're just situational. I have a nice kitchen. Okay, great. But if it's never used for cooking, then what's the point? No, but I have a great kitchen. But you don't cook. No, but look at the kitchen. I mean, who has a kitchen like this? Yes, that's very nice. It's a fabulous kitchen, but you're not cooking in this kitchen. No, because I don't want to ruin anything, because, I mean, then you see all these things, it's fabulous. You know, that's liberation. Yes.
You notice, actually, after the course on Sri Shopanishad, many devotees, they came to that conclusion that the ultimate goal of life is four kinds of liberation. Sayuja, they don't mention.
Okay.
But, writing an essay and everything, because it's written in such a way, Shopanishad. So then it's not... I mean, it is obvious from Srila Prabhupada's purpose.
Right.
But if you're not careful enough, you think, liberation is good.
Yeah. You missed the point. Yes, so you have to be very careful. So the point is this, because liberation, what is it saying? Salokya, same planet. Okay, what's the planet manifest by? Which potency? Sandhi, right? Okay, Sharshti, same opulences. What are all the opulences in that? Same. Sarupya, the form, same. Samipya, like this. Like they're all from the Sandhini potency. Bhakti is Chit and Ananda. Yes, Sandini and Ladini. You understand? So that's the point, is unless it's used for that, it doesn't retain its perfection. You have those two, the along with it, whatever your situation, it'll come up. It'll be there. So that's the whole point. Because here we're talking about having them, not using them. So that's the thing. Having them, that's sat. Having the willpower to use the qualities and all that, that's chit. Right? And then why using that? For pleasing Krishna. That's why you get Ananda. So the sat, chit, and Ananda has to be used, dovetailed in Krishna's service. Brought, that's the natural form.
We've also noticed that most of the devotees, actually, because it's coming from Sandini potency, they appreciate your existence. But in terms of going further into relationship, many people, they don't have a need like that. They say, you exist, it's good enough.
Yeah.
So then we can make a parallel that the Shanta Bhaktas,
yes.
They are just like that.
Yes.
They don't go any further because there's no interest.
Yes.
So, many times, on the birthday or any occasion, they wish you this, that. Mm-hmm. And then they say at the end that I'm very happy that you're present in my... Well, what this present does to you? Nothing. What do you mean? I feel safe. I feel...
Yeah, good. Just that you're there.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. So that's why Sandini sometimes... The Shantas, sometimes you seem to just talk... When you're talking Rasa, it's one of the Rasas. But the position that they're in, sometimes that's talked along with the jnanis.
Yeah.
And the Brahmavadis. Yes. You know, because basically it's the same situation, just it's favorable and about the Lord. Well, the one is then that knowledge about may include the Lord. And the one is where you don't actually have a proper understanding. But the spiritual situation is the same. So all devotees and all the rasas are on that same platform. It's just that they take it forward into that relationship, into that sense of possession, and it moves forward. And it becomes dynamic.
Also same with the guru. We appreciate his presence in our life, mm-hmm. and in the beginning we have a desire to develop personal. But as soon as we get a little closer, knowing the personality, we think better we stay like distance.
Yeah. Yeah, because he might tell us to do stuff that we don't want to do.
Yeah. We're not ready for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were devotees in looking at the Prabhupada memories. They would see all the big leaders at the front, and Prabhupada would give darshan, and they would stay right at the back, just in case. You know, Prabhupada would not ask them to do something they don't want to do. Those at the front, they say, Prabhupada, I'll do anything for you. I wasn't like that. I stay at the back, make sure Prabhupada doesn't see me. Because if he asks me to do something I don't want to do, then I'm finished.
Right. Yeah. Know where you stand.
Yeah. Honest?
Hmm?
Honest?
Yeah. Yeah, see, even if I offer these liberations in preference to serving me. So it's not that he just offers them. He's offering them, and oh, why this? You just take, I'll give you this. No, I just want to serve you. Because that's always what's said, like Prahlad Maharaj. I can offer you all these things. No, I just want to serve you. That's the whole point. Bhakti yoga, as described above, is the ultimate goal of life. By rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one transcends the modes of material nature and attains the spiritual position on the platform of direct devotional service. 33. These verses are quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:9, 11 through 14. Udrisi. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 1. One who possesses the symptoms described above has been elevated to the topmost position of devotional service. And it is by such transcendental loving service alone that one can surpass the influence of Maya and relish pure love of God. Right? Because there's so much being offered that why get caught up in what's here? Or what might be, you know, a little bit better facility or liberation like that when you can actually relish pure love of God? And it simply just means you give this up and have faith in that. That's what's being offered. That's what Lord Nityananda, he's selling at the marketplace.
Yes.
You just have to give shraddha, or faith, yes. That devotional service includes everything. You don't need anything else.
Yes.
And with that faith, then you buy the holy name.
But you need to remember that.
Yes, yes. And that's right, like Chaitanya mentioned about, you know, threading it on the string of that necklace of
yes.
Trinada Pisu Niche Na. Right? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.